We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Contreras Show.
Oh, doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Contreras, on 97.3 The Fan.
We dive into hour number two of my program. Hope you enjoyed our roundtable, once again presented by Bud Light Seltzer, and thank them for being a part of our Padres roundtable. We'll have another roundtable next Wednesday at 12 o'clock as we lead up to Padre baseball on July 24th. And, you know, yesterday, before I came on the air, you know, I wanted people to tell me, you know, how many games you think the Padres can win. And, of course, you're going to get people 60-0, 59-1. We had people that had them win 42 games. They'd win the division if they went 42-18. We had somebody else come in at 40. Most people, though, were in the neighborhood of 27 to about 37. I mean, there was a big gap there. But I think we all agree this ball club should end up over 500 this year. And you talk to different people around baseball, and not Padre people. I mean, the Padre people I talk to when I get an opportunity to go to the ballpark, I'm not going to call them up because they're not going to tell you anything at this point in time. You know, it's like tonight I'm going to watch the Dodger game. Dodger game is going to be like on Facebook tonight. It's going to be on LA Sportsnet. I don't think the Padres are putting their games on Facebook. You know, maybe they don't want any trade secrets to get out. I don't know about that. But, you know, I talk to people outside the Padre organization. I got a long list of baseball contacts, having, you know, covered the ball club for many years, and you meet people in the press box and all that good stuff. But a lot of people think this ball club is going to be pretty good. And I hope that we're not setting ourselves up for failure. I mean, I'm giddy. I mean, you know, in our roundtable today, and it was great stuff, great stuff. I mean, everybody brings something to the table. You know, not every station could you have a round table like that to where people really know what the hell they're talking about. It'd be it'd go bad. It'd go really bad. But we got, you know, yours truly and four gentlemen that know the game of baseball. So we're able to pull that off. Where a lot of sports talk stations that I've worked with in the past, they don't know anything about baseball. In fact, they don't even like baseball. So we're very fortunate to have the guys here at 97.3 The Fan that we have, because not only do they know baseball, they have a passion for baseball. They've got a tremendous passion for baseball. And that roundtable, I love doing it today. I love being a part of it. I love being a part of doing this each and every week when we're having these roundtables leading up to the first game on July 24th at home against the Arizona Diamondbacks. But I want to get some phone calls today. Phone calls have been a little bit light. I think baseball fans right now are a little concerned that we may not have a baseball season. You know, I had breakfast with a guy today who's coached for a long time and really knows the game. And he's actually an attorney here in San Diego. But he played college baseball a little bit and really knows the game. And we were sitting there having a nice breakfast here in Solana Beach at an outdoor venue that's still open. Luckily, they had a nice patio at the Naked Cafe here in Solana Beach. We were able to sit out there and have a nice breakfast and talk ball and talk about a variety of different things that are going on right now in our world. But we were talking. A lot of people are still wondering, are we really going to be able to pull this off with baseball on July 23rd and July 24th? And I'm hoping and I'm praying that, you know, we are going to be able to pull it off. I mean, you talk about deflating a balloon. I mean, we're all excited. And I know players, and we're going to have Craig Stammen on tomorrow, by the way, who's a great guest. Craig Stammen's going to join us tomorrow at 1:35, and I'm looking forward to that. We've had Craig on the program a couple of different times. Marvelous guy. And I don't know how many more years he's going to pitch in the big leagues, 36 years of age. But I got to tell you, whatever this guy wants to do, if he needs to work, I mean, he's made some pretty good money in the big leagues. But whatever this guy wants to do when he's done playing baseball, he's going to be very good at it because he's a true professional. And we're going to have him on tomorrow. And I'm going to ask him, I mean, how's it going? I mean, really, how is it going? Because we're hearing about all these different ball clubs around baseball right now. They're having all kinds of problems with the testing, getting the testing, getting the results for the testing. And, you know, Major League Baseball said they had the thing really squared away up there in Utah. Remember, they bought that facility and they converted it into a testing center? There's all kinds of problems right now. And if I'm the players, I'm pretty upset about it. I'm pretty upset about it. Of course, the players are upset to begin with because they're not making the money this year that they thought they were going to make. But the testing has to get better. I'm just hoping we're able to pull this off for 60 games and have the playoffs. You know, the other sport, NBA, they're showing up down at the bubble there in Orlando. Did anybody go on Twitter last night and see one of the meals that they gave one of the players? I assume the entire team got it. Are you kidding me? I mean, it was like a packaged meal. It was like a packaged meal. It was like something you'd probably get on a flight to Hawaii or a flight, cross country. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. In fact, it probably wasn't as good a meal as you would get if you were going cross country or going to Hawaii. I mean, it was pretty crazy. In the NBA, hey, hopefully they're able to get opened. Hopefully we're able to get football going. I just don't know the powers to be. And again, every state's different. Every state's different. But I want to get to phone calls. I want to get back to my point that the phone calls have been a little bit light this week, where normally we get an inordinate amount of phone calls on this program. But I think a lot of you fans out there, you're kind of taking a wait-and-see attitude, whether or not are they really going to play baseball. Are they really going to play baseball? But I also would like to hear from you, like I heard from the Twitter audience. And some Twitter guys are real good. Others are dopes, okay? Not everybody comes in with a good take. And the thing about Twitter now, and we were talking about this at breakfast this morning, if you have a different opinion than the person that's looking at a Twitter message, you're a jerk. You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. The lack of respect on Twitter is beyond me. Total beyond me. And some of the people that are very intelligent people do some of the dumbest things on Twitter and act so dumb and so immature and so naive and so juvenile. But then there's people that come to the plate both on Twitter and to the phone lines, and they're A+. And I'd love to get to some of those A+ phone callers today if you want to talk Major League Baseball. Also today, 1:35, Gallegos, who covers the Oakland A's for MLB.com, will continue our AL West preview. And by the way, it's Martin's birthday today, so we'll wish him a very, very happy birthday. Of course, we're going to have Bench the Coach coming up at 1:50 once again. And I got beat yesterday. I got beat, but you know what? The gentleman that beat me was absolutely fantastic. He was absolutely fantastic yesterday. He hit a home run, and we'll be back at it today. And once again today, we'll have that limited edition 97.3 The Fan T-shirt if you're able to take me down. But I want to get to your phone calls. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Our website at 97.3 The Fan SD. You can listen anywhere on our radio.com app. And again, please favorite 97.3 The Fan when you download that radio.com app. Our Twitter at 97.3 The Fan SD. My personal Twitter at Coach Quintero 44 and Facebook and Instagram at 97.3 The Fan. You know, I mentioned it last night. I spend probably way too much time looking at numbers and breaking things down and getting prepared for the program. And, you know, I don't like to jump on ball players because I know how tough the game is and I respect the game a great deal. And I think a lot of times I've noticed, and we don't have that here in San Diego with our ex-players, you know, guys like Mark Sweeney, Mud Grant, Bob Scanlon, Tony Gwynn Jr., guys that are on the air here in San Diego, we're pretty fortunate. And the reason I say that, there are a lot of guys that played big league baseball, and the farther they are removed from the game, the more critical they become of ball players, because they forget sometimes, and I don't know how they can forget, how difficult this game of baseball really is. I mean, you can sit behind home plate, and you can watch a guy swing and miss at two or three pitches. He's walking back to the dugout. I said, man, how did he miss that pitch? How did he miss that pitch? How come he didn't hit that? Very difficult game. Very difficult game. And, you know, I was looking at Eric Hosmer, and we talked about Hosmer leading off our roundtable today. And, you know, the year before he came to San Diego, he had a big year. He played in all 162 games in 2017 for the Kansas City Royals. He had a career-high 4.4 WAR. He had 603 at-bats that year. He hit .318, which was a career best. He tied his career-high with homers with 25, and he had 94 RBIs. And here in San Diego, his first two seasons, his average has been .259, a .316 on base percentage. And last year, not a good year against the National League West. Hosmer hit .191 against Arizona last year, .187 against Colorado, .215 against the Giants, but he did hit .282 against the Los Angeles Dodgers in 71 at-bats. But Eric Hosmer needs to get back to being somewhat close to what he was in Kansas City, because really the first 2 years here in San Diego, nowhere near it. I mean, you go back to 2018, his first year, he had .253. He had 18 homers, 69 RBIs. You know, that's okay, but that's not what was expected. And then last year, 619 at-bats, he had .265 and really struggled down the stretch. He had 29 doubles, 2 triples, 22 homers, and 99 RBIs. 99 RBIs, and Rupert Jones may be listening. Rupert's going to call and say, hey, that's a good year. That's a good year. Well, I'm going to tell you what. According to the way they look at things now, it wasn't a good year, because he had a negative 0.2 WAR. For people that are into sabermetrics, not good. Not good at all. So Eric Hosmer's got to pick it up a little bit. And I'd like to get your thoughts. Can he get back to being the Kansas City Eric Hosmer? I'll be honest. I'm not sure he can. I bring in my colleague, Braden Soprenant. Braden, this is your final day of the week. You're going to get a couple of days to head up to San Clemente, have fun with the family. Hopefully you don't get too much sun, get sunburned, and or coming back on Monday squealing. But, hey, I want you to have a couple of great days off. We get very few days off in this business. I want you to completely enjoy those days off. And don't worry, me and Adam Kluger are going to be just fine.
Yeah, looking forward to listening to your show up there at the on the beach on the radio.com app. I could do that while relaxing, getting some sun, and having a good time in San Clemente, my favorite place to be on this earth. So it's going to be a good time this week. I'm not heading up there till Thursday morning after a football practice, but it's always a nice little drive up there, and I'm looking forward to it moving on for the rest of the week.
Now, do you pretty much stay around the beach area? Do you go in? Well, I don't know. Are the restaurants open up there in San Clemente right now?
Yeah, they are. They're all open. They just you have to eat outside. And we had I went up there on Monday and had dinner at a really good place, a really nice ahi sandwich. And they put this basically this wooden fence and carved out some of the street to put patio tables and chairs at. And it was a very nice dinner we had on Monday, and we stay at a place that we've been staying at every single year, at least once a year, that my parents have, and it's right on the right across the street from the pier, so it's a great place, walking distance to the beach, obviously, and it's always a good time in the vacation that we always look forward to.
Hey, Brandon, I want to ask you, because you're back there working, and you're into Padre baseball as much as any of us, okay? And you're out there at the ballpark, and like we're going to have Stammen on tomorrow, you got that set up, and we're excited about that. Do you think that because this ball club finished in last place and they won, you know, like, you know, 70 games last year, and we're trying to elevate them into being a playoff contender, are we overselling this ball club, you think?
No, because there's only 60 games, and everybody in 60 games has a shot, and I firmly believe that just because of the way baseball is and, you know, the small sample size. I mean, baseball plays a lot of games, not only for money and tradition, but, I mean, it's the way to weed out a lot of teams in terms of the way the sport is, because we see it in the high school ranks every year when it comes to, like, the high school playoffs. I mean, you have one bad day, and all of a sudden you're out. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter, and when you got a guy on the hill, it's you know, a guy, you know, the pitching staff that the Padres do, you could be in a lot of games, and we don't know what everything's going to be like. The schedules are different. I don't really think you're overselling the team. I think they got a really good chance of making the playoffs just because of the way the season is. Now, if it's 162 game season, I would say you're probably nuts that the Padres are going to make the playoffs in 2020. But the fact of the matter is, 60 games opens up a lot of doors. In fact, I've heard a lot of people on MLB Network Radio talking about how everybody's in it except for the Orioles. Nobody really believes the Orioles actually have a chance this year, even with the shortened season. But, I mean, even teams like the Marlins are getting a chance to potentially make the playoffs because of the pitching they have, because they got some decent arms on the starting rotation that if you don't take seriously could completely shut you down. So it's going to be fun. There's a lot of teams in it that are going to have a chance, and I think that's the biggest reason why we're talking about the Padres potentially being a playoff contender this year.
Reminder, we're going to get to a lot of phone calls. We do have Morton Gallegos coming up at the bottom of the hour from MLB.com. We'll get a preview of Bob Melvin's Oakland A's ball club that's been very, very good the last couple of years and realistically could do some damage and maybe overtake the Houston Astros in the American League West. Of course, the Padres are going to be seeing the Oakland A's in interleague play this year. Our phone number, love to hear from you, at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. And reminder, this hour of the John Quintero Show is brought to you by Amtrak Pacific Surfliner. Visit PacificSurfliner.com to learn about modified train schedules and other service updates that help keep Southern California moving. When we come back, we'll get to today's Coach's Corner. Coach John Quintero, we're headed to 3 o'clock. Thanks for joining us right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. .120 the time, just getting underway after a great roundtable today. And by the way, on that roundtable, the boys 3-7 are going to replay that roundtable in the 6 o'clock hour tonight, Gwen and Chris. And then tomorrow morning in the 5 o'clock hour, Ben and Woods will replay the roundtable. We got some news from the San Diego Padres, courtesy of our gentleman, A.J. Cassavell. Jorge Mateo, who they just acquired about a week ago from the Oakland Athletics, has tested positive for the coronavirus. Jace Tingler said he's experiencing symptoms, which Jace went on to say are improving. So Jorge Mateo has tested positive for the coronavirus. And big left-hander Jose Castillo, who pitched one inning last year, down last night with a lat strain, pitching in that inner squad game, had a lat strain. They're going to reevaluate him in the next 24 to 48 hours. Boy, big, strong guy, can really bring it. But, boy, missed all but one game last year for the San Diego Padres. I mentioned we were going to do Coach's Corner. We're going to move that to 2 o'clock because, you know, I mentioned we needed some phone calls and people have been a little bit light this week. Well, we got a bevy of phone calls. We also have Bench the Coach coming up here at 1:50. And again, after the bottom of the hour, Martin Gallegos, who covers the Oakland Athletics as we continue our AL West preview, he will join us, and he does a great job working for MLB.com. Let's get out to the phones. A batting leadoff today in Carlsbad. Dale, you're on with Coach John Quintero on 97.3 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing very well. You think we're expecting too much out of this ball club after finishing dead last year?
No, I think it's anybody's ball game. You know, with the 60-game series, I think anybody can win. But, you know, I was listening to the roundtable. It was like the best thing I've ever heard, and it's actually my first time call because I heard a couple of things on there that made me call. First of all, you know, I think that it might be a great idea to platoon Eric Hosmer and Will Myers, because I've noticed, and you probably noticed, that anytime Will Myers is playing first base, he can hit. It's when he's in the outfield, he can't seem to hit. So we'll see if Jace Tingler has the, you know, if he's strong enough to platoon him, it would be really nice. And then when I was listening, you know, one of the five guys said, you know, well, we don't want to bring Will Myers in because that cuts down on the right-handed power in the outfield. And that brings up another question I've had for a few months, Coach. Can you tell me why we traded two proven power-hitting, right-handed, proven home run hitters? Because now I'm not sure who's going to hit the home runs.
Well, I will tell you this. You know, I liked Hunter Renfroe. I think Renfroe, you know, wasn't bad in the outfield. He had a cannon arm. But I think they didn't think he did a great job of making adjustments. And then they looked at Franmil Reyes as being a liability defensively. And, you know, I think if we would have known back then what we know now, that the National League is not only going with the DH this year, but probably this year moving forward, they may have kept Reyes, because I think Reyes isn't just a power guy. He's not a one-trick pony offensively. I think he's a pretty good average-type hitter, and a guy that hits with average is going to end up driving the ball out of the ballpark. I think even though he got off to a little bit of a slow start there with the Indians last year after the deal, he ended up doing a pretty good job for them. But, you know, I think if we knew last year that we were going to have a DH, I think one of those guys would have been here, and I think it might have been Reyes, because I think he's a better hitter than Renfro. Renfro runs in there, has got the great power and a decent outfielder, really worked hard to become a better outfielder, but I kind of like Reyes at the plate better than Renfro.
Okay, well, you know, I think Reyes would make a great designated hitter. And another thing I noticed that you might have the answer for me, Coach, is in the dugout, Reyes seemed to be like the heart of the team. You know, he was just wonderful. And I tell you, when they traded him, it seemed to me like they ripped the heart out of the team, and the team was never the same after that.
I think that's probably a fair statement. I think along with him being traded, and boy, you talk about a guy who got a great personality. I mean, I met him the very first night he came up and really enjoyed being around him. Good guy all the way around. But you move him out, and then Tatis is in and out of the lineup. Then eventually in August, he goes for the year. I mean, the two most enthusiastic guys out on the field that got everybody fired up, one guy's in the trainer's room, and the other guy's in Cleveland. So that was very unfortunate. But, hey, you're always trying to make deals to make yourself a better ball club. And, you know, we'll see if that deal ends up working out or not. Hey, I appreciate the phone call, Dale. Keep those phone calls coming.
I want to say one more thing. I don't want to take up all your time, but the guy that they traded Reyes for, you know, he can't even hit in Double A. So, you know, we'll see how that goes.
Well, I'm not giving up on Taylor Trammell at this point in time. I think he's a guy that got some pretty good ability, and I think he's got a pretty good passion and good work ethic, and I think we're going to see him do some nice things eventually here, maybe as early as this year with our San Diego Padres. But, Dale, thanks again. Really appreciate that phone call. Again, we got Martin Gallegos coming up from MLB.com, talk about the Oakland Athletics at 1:35, and we also got Bench the Coach coming up. Braden, where are we going on Bench the Coach today, by the way?
National Football League.
The NFL, okay. The NFL, and if you think you can take me down today in Bench the Coach, call in right now. Get into the rotation at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We head out to Imperial Beach. Long time no talk. CJ, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. How are you?
I'm doing excellent, Coach, and, you know, your point about it's kind of tough to call in about sports when there's no sports, and your show has been excellent, but it's kind of like, what do I call in to talk about? Here's the thing. I look at the Padres, and you mentioned Eric Hosmer, and the last caller said, you know, let's, you know, maybe platoon Will Myers. I think Eric Hosmer is one of those guys, and you saw it not at the plate last year. I think you saw it more defensively, because he had a horrible year defensively. Special for a guy who won as many gold gloves as he did in Kansas City. I think he's a guy that needs concentration, and he's a guy that needs to be in a pennant race. And you see that in the stats that you mentioned about how he fared against NL West, the other NL West team. Against the Dodgers, he was pretty good. Against the rest of the league, where it's just they're not very, they weren't very good teams last year, his concentration was lost, and he is the leader of that clubhouse. I know from talking to a couple guys that, you know, if they were to try to platoon him last year, they would have really lost the clubhouse much sooner than what ended up happening. But Hosmer does need to improve that concentration. I think Dickerson, especially in those videos that you saw from Peoria, Dickerson really focused in on that, and he really, he listened to him a couple times and said, hey, I don't care how much you're getting paid, get down on that ball. You know, it really works on that concentration on him. And I think if you see a better defensive playing Eric Hosmer, you're going to see a much better, more disciplined Eric Hosmer at the plate, because that is also apparent, too. He was so undisciplined at the plate last year, because he should be far better than what I think he had, like 25 walks or 30 walks last year. He has a much better eye than that, and he was just winging it way too many pitches.
Yeah, he ended up last year in 160 games, walked a total of 40 times, had 163 punch outs, and an on-base percentage of 310 last year. CJ, hopefully, we're crossing our fingers, we're crossing our toes, we're crossing any part of our anatomy we can cross right now, that we're going to have baseball starting on July 23rd and the Padres opening up at home on July 24th. So hopefully I'm going to be getting more phone calls from CJ and Imperial Beach. I've missed your phone calls.
Well, thank you very much, Coach. And like I said, as always, you have an absolutely fantastic show. And one thing I will say about this team real quick, I know you got to get going. That bullpen, if they can stay healthy, they're going to be the difference in the 60-game season. And I think baseball needs to look at maybe shortening spring training and going with 360-game seasons and then have a playoff based off the winners of those teams, because it makes things much more interesting and it makes things much more if I lose a couple games, I'm done and our season's over, and makes it almost an NFL feel.
I'm very excited about the 60-game schedule. Everybody's in it. You got 66 days of a lot of fun baseball with 60 games for your home ball club. CJ, be safe out there, and thanks again for the phone call and the nice compliment.
Oh, thank you, Coach. Yeah.
There you go, CJ in Imperial Beach. Let's duck in another quick call before the bottom of the hour, and then we're going to get to Martin Gallegos from MLB.com and talk about the Oakland A's. And, again, we got Bench the Coach coming up at 1:50 to see if you can take me down for a limited edition 97.3 The Fan T-shirt. Richard and Hillcrest, thanks for waiting. You're on with Coach John Cantara on 97.3 The Fan. Richard, how are you today?
Fine yourself, Coach. How are you?
Doing well. Just one day closer to Major League Baseball starting.
Hey, Coach, you know, I love the Padres. I'm very excitable. I can't wait for the season to start. But as you did mention, I'm not sure it's going to happen in full swing and full throttle. I'm kind of apprehensive myself. I mean, I like our chances as a team. I think we've got a good mix of youth and some experience. But I'm apprehensive, Coach. I really am.
Yeah, I'm apprehensive. Let me ask you this, because I asked Braden and, I asked, our first caller, Dale, from up there in Carlsbad. Do you think we're expecting too much out of this ball club, considering they finished in last place last year?
It's a sprint, Coach. The starting line, everyone's on the same starting line. Let's go. It's a sprint. You can do it. You got the team.
Well, you know, I look I really at the first 20 games. Like I said yesterday, the first 20 games, you got 7 against Arizona, you got 7 against the Dodgers, 3 against San Francisco, 3 against Colorado. You're going to have a pretty good idea after those 20 games, which is the third of the season. We're going to have a pretty good idea where our ball club is. If you can come out of those first 20 games at 500, say you're at 10-10, hey, you're in this thing. I mean, really, you're in this thing because you've played the Dodgers 7 times already.
Yeah, I like their mix. I like the youth on the team. I think they have to use that experience they've got, too, to their advantage. And I think with that mixture, if they roll the dice the right way, we've got a chance, Coach. I think we do.
All righty, Richard. Hey, you have a great day, and always appreciate the phone call. Love talking Padre baseball with you.
Me too, Coach. Have a great day as well.
All right, good stuff there from those first three callers. Again, we're going to move Coach's Corner. Boy, we got some big news coming out of Stanford University today. You want to make sure you tune in for shortly after 2 o'clock. Boy, they really tore their athletic department apart up there. We'll talk more about that in the 2 o'clock hour. But when we come back, we'll continue with our AL West preview. Martin Gallegos from MLB.com. We'll talk Oakland A's baseball next, right here on the John Cantara Show on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. At 1:37, Coach John Cantara headed to 3 o'clock. It'll be Gwen and Chris at a great roundtable, a Padre roundtable from 12 to 1 today. And again, they'll be replaying that tonight on their program. Gwen and Chris from 6 to 7, bright and early tomorrow morning. Ben and Woods will replay it in the 5 to 6 o'clock hour. So hopefully if you missed any of it, you tune in to good baseball content. We're going to get some great baseball content right now as we head up to Northern California, and we welcome a gentleman who's celebrating his birthday today. He becomes a legal drinking age, and that is Martin Gallegos from MLB.com to talk about the Oakland Athletics. And a very happy birthday, Martin.
Hey, I appreciate it, John. I'm glad to be spending it with you guys.
I appreciate that. Yeah, last Wednesday I was on the air. It was my birthday, so great to have you on. And what's it been like so far covering the A's during this pandemic?
It's been a little strange. Obviously, you know, now that workouts are actually going on and we can go to the ballpark, it seems a little bit more normal, I guess. But obviously, there's strict guidelines. I mean, we can't go in the clubhouse. We can't go on the field. We're basically confined to just an auxiliary press box. So I'm just trying to make the best of it. You know, everyone's wearing their masks and being responsible at a distance. So it's nice to just see baseball back, you know, players actually practicing on the field because for a lot, I mean, the last 3 months, I mean, we were running out of, you know, things to really write about. So it's good to see that baseball is coming back, and hopefully we get to that opening day with no no issues.
Hey, Martin, tell us a little bit about the health of the left-hander, Jesus Luzardo. He tested positive for coronavirus. What do you know about that?
Yeah, so I talked to him yesterday, and he seems to be fine. You know, he's not feeling any symptoms. He's basically just kind of at home in the Bay Area. He came out here from Florida, and he's right now just sitting around waiting. You know, he has to test negative twice before he can return, so he's basically in self-isolation right now. But, you know, he's feeling good, which is the most important thing health-wise. He's not feeling any issues right now. And obviously the A's hope to have him by the time opening day comes around because he fits into their plans big time as their top prospect, supposed to slot into that rotation and be one of their top guys. So they're hoping for the best with them. And right now there's, you know, they're concerned because he tested positive, but there's no worries that it's something that turns into anything worse right now.
Yeah, we're joined by Martin Gallegos from MLB.com, who covers the Oakland Athletics. Nice enough to join us on his birthday, I might add. Let's talk a little bit about Bob Melvin. I was saying last week on the program, we got talking about the Oakland A's. This guy really has done a great job. I mean, his team has won 97 games each of the last couple of years. Each year they were knocked out in that one game wild card. But this guy, I don't really think around baseball, really gets the credit for being an outstanding manager and a leader of men.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he kind of, you know, like you said, flies under the radar, it seems like, in terms of, you know, when you're discussing the top managers in the game. You know, a lot of these days, you know, a lot of the manager position gets kind of overlooked because of so many analytics and different front offices. It feels like some clubs control kind of the way managers kind of manage a game. But I feel like there's a good balance here in Oakland between Bob Melvin and the front office. They kind of work hand in hand. And, you know, Bob gets these guys to believe, you know, that he gets them to buy in from the time spring training comes around. And I mean, that's big. These guys have been slowly making their ways up to the majors, guys like Matt Chapman, Matt Olson, and Marcus Semien, and they've become leaders of this team. And that's all a product of Bob Melvin's preaching to them in spring training about, you know, how to carry yourself, you know, as professionals and kind of embracing that underdog role in Oakland. The A's are always, you know, underdogs, and Bob Melvin really gets them to believe that, hey, just because we don't spend a lot of money and have that nice stadium, doesn't mean we can't compete with teams like the Astros or the Yankees or the, you know, the Red Sox every year. I mean, the last 2 years you've seen it, they've been as good as all those teams. I think they feel like they have a chance to go to the World Series this year. That was the feeling going into spring training. And maybe outsiders looking in don't see the names and feel like, oh, you know, there's not a lot of star power there, but these guys just get the job done. And Bob Melvin's a big part of that.
You know, Martin, I look at this pitching staff, and I know there's a lot of question marks with their starting staff because they got young guys that really haven't been through it before. Some have, some haven't. But I also look at their bullpen as being very dynamic. If some of these young guys come through in that starting rotation, wow, this team could be they could get to the World Series.
Yeah, and I think the 60-game shortened season actually will benefit them because, you know, going into the 162 regular season, we were all kind of expecting, you know, Jesus Luzardo and AJ Puck, their two top prospects who are going through the rotation, to be on an innings limit. They probably weren't going to go, I would say, anywhere between 100 and 120 innings was their max. Now with the 60 games, Bob Melvin told us, you know, there's no limitations on these guys. If they're throwing the ball well and they stay healthy, you know, they'll have a full season out of those top young guys. That's a big boost to the rotation because they already have three other guys they feel really good about, and Frankie Montas, Shamania, and Mike Fiers was really good for them last year. while Manaea and Montas were out at times during the season. So 1 through 5, the rotation, they feel like is going to be a strength of this ball club. And as we see, you know, every postseason, pitching is what, you know, helps you win games and those tight games. And they feel like 1 through 5, they have a guy who can go out there and give them a pretty good shot to win.
How about that bullpen, Martin? That bullpen, they got some dynamite guys down there. I know Blake Treinen, who's no longer with the ball club, had a great 2018, didn't work out as well last year, and he's moved on to the Dodgers. But it seems like they got some pretty good arms down in that pen.
Yeah, you know, last year, especially, you know, Liam Hendricks stepped up while Treinen was going through his struggles and he was kind of hurt. Liam Hendricks stepped up and became an all-star closer for them, and that came out of nowhere. It seems like they always, you know, the A's do a good job of finding guys who maybe other teams have given up on and find a way to get the most out of their talent here in Oakland. They got veterans like Yusmeiro Petit, who I think is quietly has been one of the best relievers in baseball the last couple of years. Joaquin Soria has closer experience, and they have some dynamic young arms like Lou Trevino, who had a pretty rough 2019, but he was coming off a sensational rookie year, so he's trying to get back on track here. But I mean, I think the main thing with that bullpen is just they have a lot of guys who give, you know, teams different looks. They've got guys who throw hard, guys who kind of have more finesse stuff, guys who maybe, you know, rely more on control. Yusmeiro Petit is filthy, and he throws about an 89 mile per hour fastball. So I mean, they're going to be trouble for opposing offenses late in games for sure. You know, the pitching staff as a whole, not just the rotation, is considered to be, I think, a strength of this ball club.
Hey, Martin, I want to ask you a question about Trevino, because I was down at Petco Park, and I was right down next to the Padre dugout when he was working on closing out a ball game in 2018. And, man, this guy was flat-out bringing it. He had some serious stuff. And then last year you mentioned he struggled. Did they wear him out a little bit in 2018, being a young guy? It seemed like they were running him out there quite a bit. And it almost seemed like last year, you know, he just wasn't the same guy that I saw in 2018 from the stuff standpoint.
Yeah, you know, he worked a lot in that rookie season, more than he had ever worked in his career. So, I mean, he won't, you know, say that he felt overworked, but I think – Early on last season, it seemed like, you know, fatigue was kind of starting to set in a little bit. You know, he had thrown a lot of innings, you know, the previous year. So I think it was affecting him a little bit. It was a little bit mental too. I mean, he would go out and have, you know, really good outings, but there would be one pitch, just one pitch that, you know, unfoils everything that he did good in that game. And, you know, he kind of had a bad stretch there and kind of towards the end of the season, start to pick it up a little bit. Still up and down. He obviously wants to be a lot more consistent heading into this season. But he's still a young guy. You know, only 2 seasons in the big leagues. I think the A's still feel like, you know, he could be, at the very least, a really strong setup man. And he has closer stuff for sure. I mean, his stuff is nasty. And his cutter is, I think, one of the best pitches in baseball. So he's got a pretty impressive arsenal, and the A's are glad to have him. I think he's a good candidate to bounce back this season.
Martin Gallegos from MLB.com, who covers the Oakland A's, our guest on our SDCCU fan hotline. I look at their infield, the three spots, I mean, they're just as good as it gets. I mean, you got Matt Olson, who's putting up a real nice career up there in Oakland, still a very young player. You got Marcus Semien at short. You got Matt Chapman, who's won gold gloves over at third. I see the big question mark at second base, and my question is Jorge Mateo, who the Oakland A's traded to the Padres a week ago, and by the way, he tested positive today for the coronavirus. Why wasn't he in the mix at second base? I mean, this guy was coming off a great year in Triple A, can steal some bases, is yet to play at the big league level, but why didn't they let him have an opportunity to compete? Why'd they end up moving him? Because it looks like at second base right now, it's kind of open competition.
Yeah, you know, I think the reason there was, you know, there's a lot of competition at second base. It was kind of a, you know, they had a surplus there. I mean, Tony Kemp is there, who they just brought in from a trade this offseason. Franklin Barreto is a guy who for a lot of years was considered their number one prospect, and he's out of options. So this is a big year for him to see what he can do at the major league level. They got a Rule 5 draft pick and Bimal Machine, who's competing for that spot as well. So I think, you know, they just felt Jorge Mateo, for as good as he was last year, you know, he bounced back with a great season at AAA. You have to look at those numbers, you know, you have to kind of factor in the ballpark that he was playing in Las Vegas as a hitter's paradise, as is the whole PCL. But he definitely put himself back into that, you know, prospect ranking list for himself. But I think they just felt, you know, at this point, he was an expendable piece. Coming out of the regular spring training and back in March, it was going to be tough for him to make the squad just because there were so many other guys ahead of him. And Mateo's out of options, so if he wouldn't have made the opening day roster, you know, he would have been subject to waivers. And there's no doubt in my mind the team would have picked him up. He just has way too much overall raw skill not to be picked up by another team. He's still, you know, relatively young. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how he does in San Diego. Maybe he gets more of a shot there. I've always felt like he's the type of guy who, even if the minor league numbers when they weren't great, I feel like he might be one of those guys who just needs a shot in the majors, and he could really flourish. Because, I mean, you watch him every spring, and he's as dynamic as they come. He's fun to watch, one of the fun players to watch in camp. And, you know, hopefully he gets a shot in San Diego. He's a good guy, and, you know, it's unfortunate that he tested positive. I hope everything's well with him, you know, health-wise. But, you know, he's going to be exciting to see, at the very least, he's going to be fun to watch on the base paths for sure this year.
And, Martin, you know, the outfield, Mark Canna, Ramon Laureano, Stephen Piscotty. But my question would be the DH, Chris Davis, 220 last year, 23 homers, 73 RBIs. I mean, this guy got big power numbers. You think he can bounce back? Because not a Chris Davis-like season a year ago.
Yeah, you know, we all got so used to him hitting 40-plus homers, you know, every year. I mean, the year before that, he led the league in home runs. So, it was definitely uncharacteristic for him, but he feels like it was an outlier. I mean, you talk to Bob Melvin, he's confident that he could turn things around. You know, even if he doesn't get back to like the 40-plus homer stuff, if he could just get somewhere around, you know, in the middle between those two extremes, maybe 30-plus homers, 80, 90 RBIs, the A's would gladly take that. And, I mean, you look at their offense as a whole, they've already got, you know, plenty of firepower in there with Simeon, Olsen, Chapman. Canna had a good year last year. Ramon Laureano's developing to a pretty strong bat. Stephen Piscotty's back. So, I mean, if they could just get, you know, somewhere in the middle there with Chris Davis, doesn't have to be that super crazy bonkers home run potential, but somewhere in the middle with them, I think they'd be gladly, they'll take that. And he feels like this is his year to bounce back. He loves playing in Oakland. I mean, he just got a contract extension, and he felt like he kind of let the team down a little bit with his performance last year. So I know he's eager to kind of get back to the Chris Davis of old.
How are they going to attack the catcher position?
Well, there's not a lot of experience there. I mean, Sean Murphy's expected to be the primary guy, and, you know, he came up last year and impressed, but it was a short stint in September. He got to even start the AL wildcard game, which I think does well for his confidence. Obviously, Austin Allen, who came over from the Padres, is expected to be a strong candidate to be his backup, but they also have another young catcher in Jonah Heim, who's, you know, I think I think last year was his first year in AAA, so again, not a lot of experience, but Austin Allen and Jonah Heim were in a pretty good battle there in spring training before that ended for that backup spot, and both at the plate and behind the plate. I mean, it seemed like they were impressive. So that's going to be kind of decided here in the summer camp a little bit. I think Murphy for sure is a lock, but it's not a for sure thing that they go in with three catchers, even with rosters temporarily going up to 30 players. I think Austin Allen and Jonah Heim are in for a pretty good battle there. But they feel good about Sean Murphy. He's a top prospect, and he's spent a lot of time catching, you know, the other top pitchers that they have, like Luzardo and Puck in the minors. So they kind of have that built-in chemistry already. So I don't think just because he's a rookie, I don't think it'll take too long for him to kind of get settled in here at the major league level.
Hey, Martin, great stuff. Happy birthday again. Thanks so much for the time, and we'll look forward to catching up with you somewhere in the middle of this 60-game schedule.
All right, John, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, great stuff, and again, happy birthday to Martin Gallegos, who covers the Oakland A's for MLB.com, joining us on our SDCCU fan hotline. Reminder, all the guests come via on the John Quintero Show on the SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU online and mobile banking lets you do your banking from your smartphone. Messages and data rates may apply. For details, visit SDCCU.com. With that, let's get to today's Bench the Coach.
It's time to test your San Diego sports knowledge and see if you have what it takes to try and bench the coach on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Coach, trying to take you down today is our buddy Ernesto down in National City. Ernesto, what's going on?
None much. Just enjoying first time on Bench the Coach. I've always wanted to do this. So.
All righty, Ernesto, thank you so much. You've been a great, loyal listener. Very much appreciated, and best of luck today.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I'll need it.
All right, Ernesto, if you've been listening this week, we've been doing a lot of colleges that have produced the best of a certain position in the NFL. Today we're on linebacker U. I need to know, out of the top 10 list here, what colleges produced the most linebackers and best linebackers of the last 20 years for the National Football League. If you get one right, you get a point. Everyone coach gets correct, he gets a point. First one to three will win today's contest. So, Ernesto, can you name me a college that you can consider linebacker U?
First one that popped up to my head, hopefully I'm right, the last 20 years is Penn State.
That is correct. Penn State barely making the list, but they do sell linebacker U sweatshirts. I have seen those before, and it is a correct answer for Ernesto. 1 point for Ernesto. Coach, to you.
I'll go with Michigan.
That is correct. Michigan also on the list. They come in at number 7. David Harris, Lamar Woodley, Cato June, a couple of the guys that they list at the beginning of this list. Tied at 1, Ernesto, give me another school that is linebacker U.
Let's bring it a little closer to home, USC.
That is correct. The Trojans, Clay Matthews, Lofatupu, Brian Cushing, Ray Maluga, and, of course, the legendary Junior Seau, who doesn't qualify for the last 20 years, but still a great linebacker nonetheless. 2-2 Ernesto, 1 to you, Coach.
I'm going to have to – they've had some linebackers. They haven't done all that great in the pros, but I'll go Alabama.
That's correct. Alabama comes in number 2 on the list. They've produced a lot of linebackers. C.J. Mosley, DeMarco Ryans, Mark Barron, Dante Hightower, Ronaldo McClain, Courtney Upshaw, just to name a few. Reuben Foster, another one on that list as well. Tied at 2, Ernesto, to try to win a T-shirt. Give me another school that is considered linebacker U.
Gosh, I really want that T-shirt. Miami.
Oh, hey. You won it. Good job, Ernesto.
All right, 1 for 1.
Yeah, Ernesto, Miami comes in number 5. They had a lot of linebackers, that we could break that down later on at 2 o'clock.
Hey, Ernesto, you stay on hold. Great job, my friend. Congratulations. Stay on hold, and we'll get all your information.
Awesome.
That's a wrap. The coach has been benched for now. A 97.3 The Fan.
Well, Ernesto going to win that very nice premium limited edition 97.3 The Fan T-shirt. And we'll get more information on that when we come back in the 2 o'clock hour. We're going to get into Coach's Corner. This is the John Katara Show on 97.3 The Fan.
Thanks for downloading the John Katara Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.